The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike, and I'm in the studio today with Nina Yan. Nina, welcome back to the program. Nina is the director. She is the CEO of the Christian Sharing Center. Do you still call it the whole title, right? Christian Sharing Center, or have you gone to calling it the Sharing Center now?
Yes to both. So our legal registered name is the Christian Sharing Center, and we're DBA as the Sharing Center. So you're right. Correct on both accounts.
All right. Well, that's nice to know. It's better than being wrong. We first had her on about a year ago. Right about this time, 1 year ago, we were not in this beautiful new space that we have with our studios yet, but it was in this building, and we were using a smaller office back then and doing interviews into a laptop. And basically now here we are a year later. You've been on with us one time in between. And, you know, this year, Nina, has been both for you personally and then again for all of us, and especially impacting on the Sharing Center with the amount of people that have been affected negatively from this COVID virus that's gone on. It has changed lives literally around the world, and it's caused you guys to kind of reinvent yourselves in many ways and really increase the amount of work while decreasing in some capacities the amount of resources that in terms of people that you have to do that work with. But somehow you've managed to do that. So that's really an amazing thing. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. And driving here this morning, I was reflecting a short 12 months ago, sitting in your studio, how last year versus this year, how much things have changed. You know, last year, you and I sitting here would have never imagined COVID would be here, let alone lasting as long as it has. Mm-mm. And before coming here, our parking lot is just filled with people. You know, whether they're there to do, today we're doing antibody testing. Tomorrow we're feeding over 300 homeless of our friends and neighbors in our parking lot. Last Friday, we blessed 400 house clients with our drive-through food distribution for Thanksgiving, along with a Publix gift card. Just with the holiday coming up, there's so much activity and there's a buzz in the air. And I'm really blessed with an awesome team at the Christian Sharing Center that are just pivoting with the, whether it's the economic change, the pandemic, the resources that we have or have not because of our volunteers have taken a sabbatical due to COVID. And we understand because we want to keep all of our volunteers safe as mm-hmm. well. But our team at the Christian Sharing Center just have majorly stepped up to serve our clients.
Well, you know, when they do that, they're doing it again in faith. And there are so many of them that are volunteers. Mm-hmm. And these are people not unlike anybody else around that's listening to this. They have other responsibilities, other jobs, but they have come to see that what you're doing is legit. What you're doing is so helpful. And you're doing it again in the name of the Lord who's given us this call to help people to be a light. And boy, you're doing that in so many different ways. And when I think back to our talk that we did several months back, you know, I remember that when I was able to tour your place before you were on the, I think it was slightly before you were on the radio show, but so many interviews between now and then. But I remember seeing how well operated, and you have this beautiful place, this strip mall, there on 1792 in the Longwood area, I guess.
Half a mile south of 434 on 1792.
So you have this one storefront after another back in that day of an outreach. And in one, it might be the thrift store. And another was where people could actually get a haircut, or another one would be where they are actually come and they have showers available, able to take a warm shower. And another one where you've got counseling going on, another where there's legal advice and job advice, really job service that's going on. So many different ideas all coming together under one roof. And it's all within just quick walking distance, serving and loving the homeless of this area. And they're getting so much. And then the pandemic comes. And now you've got the lockdown that happened. And one of the big things I remember from last year when that lockdown happened, that meant you couldn't have the thrift store open because that would have been deemed non-essential. And the thrift store is like one of the big impetus fundraising ways that you're able to kind of keep everything going. So people donate things to you like they do the Goodwill and all these other places. But you're able to then turn around and sell it. The funds keep all this other activity and all the other serving. So you stayed open. You stayed continuing to serve in spite of all of that.
Absolutely. First, Mike, you have amazing memory from recalling everything to that detail from a tour a year ago. And yes, we had to close our retail operation from end of March to about reopening in end of May. Mm-hmm. And in that short amount of time, we lost about $250,000. And this fund is so important because 90% of everything we raise through our retail operation goes back to our families, help them pay rent with their utility bill assistance, rent or mortgage assistance. And thank God that we were able to apply for both PPP as well as Seminole Cares funding. And so we were able to recoup some of that funding to help our families in need. Our retail department shut down during the peak of COVID, but our Oasis for the Homeless and our Family in Crisis to help families that are considered fully working but just struggling to make ends meet. And during COVID, a lot of our families lost their jobs. So both departments never skipped a beat. We just transitioned from an indoor service model and one-on-one case management. We moved everything to the parking lot. So we never stopped serving our community. We just had to quickly pivot how we deliver those services.
Now tell us about the Oasis department, that whole aspect of the Sharing Center, what it does and how it works.
The Christian Sharing Center was founded 34 years ago, and our mission is to provide the basic essentials to those in need while ensuring dignity, reflecting Christian generosity, and sharing God's love. And we do that through many of our programs. Oasis, which is the only resource center for the homeless in entire Seminole County. Pre-COVID, we have volunteers to do laundry for the homeless, prepare meals, give a free haircut or shaving of the beard. And during COVID, we are now just providing still the food, still the laundry service, but only three people at a time can be allowed inside the building because we have three shower stalls. And then once those three clients finish cleaning themselves and get the food to go, once they exit the building, then three more clients come in. And because Oasis have been so busy, we just finished our fiscal year, and statistically it reflects that from this year over last year, we've served 18.4% more homeless clients. But what's more alarming out of that increase is an increase of 37% of number of visits. So what that means is not only we're serving more homeless clients, they're coming back more frequently for our services. And so thank God Avon Health bless us with the seed money to expand our Oasis service from the current 1,200 square feet to hopefully next year we'll start drawing the 2,400 square feet Oasis. So what that means, instead of having three showers to serve the homeless, we will have six shower stalls. Instead of having four sets of washer and dryer, we'll have six sets of washer and dryer. But what's more important in this new facility, the expansion when it happens, is we're building three case management offices to offer other nonprofits to come on our campus and better serve our homeless clients. Mm. So we are very excited with this future expansion of the Oasis to serve the homeless.
Well, that is wonderful news that you're able to keep this going right in the face. And, you know, we all thought this would have been gone a long time ago, done, over. And now it seems like it's almost raising its ugly head again, this COVID virus. And many states were hearing, fortunately not in Florida, but many states were hearing and communities within states about now potentially looking at lockdowns again. And what is the outlook for people like yourself who operate these nonprofits that are so valuable? What is the what's out there looking forward for you as to how we might be impacted in Florida?
It's very interesting. Depending on whose webinar you attend, whether it's Edith Bush Institute or the Central Florida Foundation, the community is quoting anywhere between 15 to 20% of the nonprofits in Central Florida will have to close its doors due to COVID. A lot of the nonprofits had to cancel all of their fundraisers this year. And so a lot of the nonprofits are looking at possibly a merger model. So who the bigger players that are financially more stable can possibly help out the smaller and maybe less funded nonprofits merge together and continue to provide these services to our community. Mm-hmm. And so COVID is just impacting everyone, including our nonprofit sector.
You know, when you think about the trickle-down, used to be called trickle-down effect of either an economic upturn or downturn, it seems that COVID has brought like a tsunami effect of impact. You know, when you look at businesses, you know, as a musician, I just heard last night that Guitar Center is being affected negatively, and they're blaming all of this, not all of it, but greatly because of COVID. They're going through Chapter 11 bankruptcy and reorganizing and trying to stay open during this time. They have hope of weathering this storm as well and not having to shutter their doors. But like you said, when you have a reality of 15 to 20% of nonprofits actually closing down, and not just for a while, we're talking about closing their doors, that makes what companies like what you have all the more important, because one thing is not going to go away. One thing that is not going to shut down, it's the need that is out there. And you're seeing this need grow. And actually, you're able to do more, again, with less. And that's just an amazing reality.
And one of the unanticipated needs that have arise is we partner with Florida Counseling Foundation, and they provide free mental health counseling for our clients in need. So the Christian Sharing Center do the fundraising, the grant writing, and then we fund these sessions for our clients for free. So we did a random sampling of 3 months during COVID versus 3 months pre-COVID, and we've seen a 28% increase in the number of mental health sessions needed by our clients. And they've also quickly pivoted both in person, but then also doing the Zoom counseling sessions. So we need to write more grants and do more fundraising efforts to raise more funds to allow our clients to have these access to mental health counseling sessions. You know, our clients that are struggling with financial stress now with the COVID, they're basically looking at lockdown stress and kids being in home, and possibly many of our families have lost their jobs. And so this all adds to their mental well-being.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about mental health in this context, you're seeing this and you're probably learning a lot more about it than you ever had to know before. What are the other implications that you see that long-term situations like what we're dealing with now? And we are now entering into, I think it's safe to say, COVID has had a long-term impact, because it's been about a year now. We first started hearing the words about it. It was after the first of the year that we started getting more news coming out of Wuhan, China. And now we're talking about looking toward first quarter in 2021, where it will be a year since the first true economic impacts. So what have you learned at the Sharing Center about that impact, that long-term impact on mental health with the people that you serve?
not only our clients are severely impacted with their mental health well-being, economic well-being, homelessness come 2021 is going, I predict to see a surge in homelessness as well, as more people are getting further and further behind. So our normal financial assistance is limited to 1 month of rent assistance per family per year. But due to COVID, we've opened that up to 2 months. And for those that qualify, we're paying sometimes even up to 3 months. Rarely we do that, but 2 months and utility bill is very consistent. Mm. And so between the funding from Seminole County and our awesome community of supporters, our faith partners, our regular donors, we've been able to really step up our financial assistance program. Because if we don't help them in the front end by paying their mortgage and their rent, once they get evicted and become homeless, they become our Oasis client. So it's essentially helping ourselves in the long run to keep all of our clients housed as long as possibly could.
You know, when you think about that, like I said, that's 16% of their needs, their housing needs that would be being met on an annual basis. That's a significant number for them. And it, this doesn't, you know, you, I wish it, you did, but you don't have a money tree over at the Sharing Center that you can just go out back and say, hey, for this month, we need this much. Let's do some picking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that way. So, you know, there are things that I know that you have to do. And thank God you've had the grants. Like you said, you've had the help from Avid and other places, other businesses that's going on. But this is a significant thing that if we are looking at an upturn, and many people believe that economically after the first of the year, you know, this election's over, and a lot of people believe that, you know, we've kind of like pushed this thing off and pushed it off, but the impact is going to someday catch up on where we are with all of these businesses that are closed. And then the big if this goes into another lockdown at all, that's only going to expand. And so you guys have got to be looking that could happen. What does a nonprofit like the Sharing Center do with that inevitability? If you're looking at more people, more homelessness, what are you doing to get ready for that?
So that's a really interesting question. Sheriff Lima of Seminole County was on our campus last Friday, and at the end of the tour, we talk about some of the nonprofits here in Seminole County going out of business, and he had recommended that I reach out to some of the other leaders of these nonprofits, so basically my counterparts, to start the dialogue of, instead of you voting the other agencies going out of business, what can we do to support you? Is there a chance for collaboration? Is there a chance for us to help you fundraise? Can we help you manage your financial resources? You know, what can we do as a mid-sized agency here in Seminole County to help the other smaller size agencies? So I've started to reach out to other nonprofits in Seminole County to see how we can either merge or combine our efforts or somehow talk about collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be great if people can come together and help each other. And organizations like what you do, and there are other great organizations that we've had on the air here on The Shepherd. Our heart is for you. And here we are in Thanksgiving week. You know, this is always the week that Americans, and you know, it's really weird. I was writing an article for a couple of newspapers that I write for, and it hit me that one of the big things that Thanksgiving week has always meant for people that celebrate with their families on Thursday, and that's watching that big parade from New York City, and then to realize that for the first time since the war in the 40s, since World War II, they're not going to have that live event. One more impact that COVID has brought into a very fatiguing year. So, my goodness, people, we do need to come together. We need to work together. We need to collaborate where we can. And people that are blessed need this year to be more thankful for their blessing and think about sharing it. And that's something that your name, sharing is your name.
Absolutely. And we are truly blessed by our partnership. For example, Briar team out of Sanford, for their second year in a row, they have done or they're doing a dollar for dollar match campaign from now till the end of the year, along with Miles to Go, another homeless nonprofit organization out of Windermere, and another Final Family Foundation. The three entities have come together and raised $100,000 combined total to help us raise $200,000 between now and end of the year. And if it's not for these amazing corporate and nonprofit and family foundation partners, we would not be able to do this year-end campaign. And so a huge shout out to Miles to Go and the Briar team out of Sanford.
Wonderful. Nina Yan is my guest. She leads the Sharing Center, the Christian Sharing Center in Longwood area, Seminole County, and doing a phenomenal job. We'll be back with her in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. We're here on The Shepherd. My guest is Nina Yan. I always enjoy talking to Nina. It's been a year now since I first met her, since that first tour at the Sharing Center up in Longwood. You said it's about, what, a mile, you said, south?
Half of a mile.
Half of a mile south of 434 on 1792 in basically the Orlando, General Orlando area. So if you take that well-traveled highway, 1792, and you head up half mile north of 434, the Winter Springs area. That's where the Sharing Center is. It's on the left-hand side. It's what would look like one of the big shopping centers, strip malls, they used to be called. They have taken over one of those entire strip malls on the left. And storefront after storefront, it is an associated ministry business of the Sharing Center. And they're doing a wonderful job. And a year ago, Nina gave me and also Charlotte McDonald, a good friend, a part of the Mark family, a tour of this place. I was so impressed. I thought this is one of the most amazing, efficiently run. You do a good job of managing it, Nina.
Thank you, Mark.
And here is this precious lady who is a tiger in business. That's what you are. Now, this tiger in business had a little bit of a setback this last fall. You were having some serious pain. They thought it was the appendix. They deemed that your appendix needed to be removed. But it turned out to be a little bit deeper problem than just that. Share a little bit about that.
God had a different plan for me. The last week in October, I was just hit with excruciating pain in my stomach, and went to the hospital, Avon Health, on 436, and checked myself in, and scheduled to have an emergency appendectomy the following morning. And this wonderful surgeon, Dr. Heater, came and said, "We think there's other things going on, and we wanted to take more tests and make sure that we're addressing the root of the problem." Mm-hmm. So another test, then another test. And finally, they agreed that both my gallbladder was dysfunctional and my appendix needed to come out. So I was scheduled for surgery that Friday, the same week. And I was released the same day. Avon Health took great care of me. And when I shared the story with my friends, is I consider this double surgery a huge blessing, because who goes into the hospital thinking it's one problem, but there was another deeper problem that was lurking around. So I had two things taken care of. I only had one hospital stay. I had one recovery time. Friends and the family, my board of directors, just been awesome. And I was able to work from home for about a week and a half, and just basically now I'm back to full time on campus, and it's a huge blessing, because I needed to take that time to slow down my pace to gear up for Thanksgiving and better serve our clients. And so I see that as a silver lining, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. A stay like that, a surgery in a time of COVID, if you can get two for the price of one, or so to speak, or at least two taken care of at the same time.
Absolutely.
And not have to go back in a second time. That's got to be a bonus in this time. Now, the last time we were together on the phone, that's would be several months ago. Mm-hmm. We were also talking about the fact that you were engaged and that this was a terrible delay that you had. As I recall, you had a wedding date. COVID had, a honeymoon all booked out and all kind of like planned out. And I tell you what, when you're getting married and you have these big events like that and you book hotels and then COVID happens, and COVID has changed not only funerals, which we know, and I was talking to somebody about this over the last couple of days, but weddings have been tremendously negatively impacted because of the wedding plans that had to be changed. And yours, you fell into that rank as well.
I joke with my fiance Chip Waterman all the time about this has got to be one of the longest engagement in the history of the world. But all joking aside, when I was hospitalized that week, he never left my side. He is such a great champion for everything I do. Every time I'm on campus volunteering with a project, he's always by my side. I'm a member of the Maitland Rotary Club, and we were volunteering at the our festival a couple of weekends ago. He was by my side. He's one of those individuals that just keeps my cup full. Usually it's the female that supports the male role, but in our case, he truly is a godsend. He keeps me happy. He keeps me healthy. He's a wonderful cook. He makes meals for our homeless clients at Oasis. In fact, last night I was visiting with my brother who has COVID. And while I was in the hospital, Chip made a big crock pot of pot roast. And I brought it in to the Oasis clients this morning. So he is absolutely an angel.
Well, one of these days, all this is going to be over and that date is finally going to come and it's going to be exciting. We'll have to have you when you get back from that honeymoon, whenever that date is. We'll have to have you come on and tell us, just the beautiful sights that you were able to see and all of that good stuff.
Wow.
My goodness, that day will come. And I'm sorry for yet another delay that all that caused. Boy, this is an exercise of patience for sure.
Absolutely. And we had rebooked our honeymoon cruise from this May to October. That got canceled. We rebooked for next July. Come to find out that we actually are waitlisted. So right now we don't even have a wedding date or honeymoon date.
My goodness.
It's all in God's hands and in God's time.
He knows, and it's important to him, and this will happen. So before we move all the way now away from that, you're doing fine. You're feeling better and...
Yes.
Oh, that's really good.
Feeling strong
know.
Again. Thank you, Mike.
That's wonderful. That's good. Because I tell you what, doing what you do at the Sharing Center, it takes full strength. You get up, you're there early.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work on anyone, and it's a lot of work on your entire team. So one of the things that I know that has happened... going back now, looking at the Sharing Center itself, you were hoping to get a certain certification, and you had a goal for getting that certification, which is an award, and it shows the excellence of work, and you had high hopes that the Sharing Center would qualify, and you not only qualified, you beat that time frame that you were aiming for. Tell us that story.
So the GuideStar is viewed as the policing agency nationwide in the nonprofit sector. GuideStar has four levels of transparency, and this basically indicates how well is the nonprofit functioning in terms of being good stewards of the funds the donors are giving them, whether it's individual donor or a granting agency. So there's four levels. There's the silver. Then you do a little bit more, you get bronze, you do a little bit more, you get gold level, and then the highest level you can achieve is the platinum seal of transparency. So last year we were at the bronze level, the second level, and we, through a clean audit, we filed our 990 on time. We did an impact report and share with our donors how we are making an impact in our community. So we were able to be awarded the next level up, which is the gold level. And our goal was to reach the platinum level by 2021. And just last month, we received a notification from GuideStar that we've now are awarded the Platinum Seal of Transparency, meaning that we're being extremely careful with the funds that our donors, our faith partners, our corporate partners are entrusting with at the Sharing Center. So we're being very transparent with how we're using the fund. We're being very communicative on whether it's on our website or through our print collateral. And just a huge shout out to all of our supporters for supporting us over these years as we start planning our 35th year anniversary. So we're very proud to be a great community partner and serving Seminole County since 1986.
Congratulations. That is a major milestone and one that I know is going to help you. One that's recognized, I know, not only by individuals, but by businesses. And I pray that that translates into more businesses. And our prayer would be today that as people are hearing this, if you are a business owner and you're looking for a way to join arms with a great organization in Central Florida that is helping to make a difference, an ongoing difference in the lives of people who are not only homeless, some are underemployed, some who are some oftentimes, and this is something that I've learned that I did not know before, meeting people like Nina and the organization that she works with and for. I did not realize that so many of the homeless people are actually in a situation that they are not. It's not like they're not working. They are still working, and yet they're underemployed. That was a term that I hadn't heard. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Mike. There's a young man, he is 19, currently going to Seminole State College for his engineering degree. He is homeless. For all intent purposes, he is sleeping on a friend's couch, and he just moves from house to house to house. And he comes to the Oasis for his food, as well as taking a shower and getting his laundry done. Here is someone who is going to be an engineer one day, but he is homeless. And some of our Oasis homeless clients have jobs. Some have some mental health issues and they're living on disability. And so everyone's situation is very different, and it's not our place or my team's place to judge. We just meet them where they are today and provide the services and be the hands and feet that God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that is for our Oasis homeless clients. In our Family in Crisis department, Mike, Central Florida is supported by this wonderful agency, Heart of Florida United Way, and they give a lot of funding to many nonprofit agencies, and the Christian Sharing Center is one of those. They do a survey every year, and the ALICE population, which stands for the Asset Limited Income Constrained Employee Population, in Central Florida, the ALICE population, meaning that these are families that have jobs, some working two or three jobs, but simply not making enough money to provide the five basic necessities of food, housing, transportation, healthcare, and childcare for their families. Central Florida, pre-COVID, the ALICE population is 47%.
Wow.
47%. That means the next person at a red light, the next person sitting next to you in church, the next person in line at Publix, most likely they are the ALICE population. Factor in COVID, you're probably looking now closer to 55, maybe even 60% are ALICE population.
So would ALICE, if I'm understanding that correctly, would that be like the poverty zone? Is that basically what we would have 30, 40 years ago called the kind of like below the line of poverty? Is that what that would be?
So federal government has a poverty level, and then you take that dollar amount. It's basically per household, how many member in your household. You multiply that by two. So 200% of the federal poverty level, people that are earning under 200% of the federal poverty level, That's the Alice population. So they're working. They're sometimes have double, triple jobs, but they just don't make enough money per hour.
Yes. And one of those essentials that we're talking about, which is lodging, which obviously is the heart and soul of homelessness. When somebody says they're homeless, they're not necessarily saying I'm without any job at all, but they don't have enough to make for that one most important part. And that's where you get people sleeping either in their cars, if they have a car, or like you said, going from friend to friend, or in a shelter someplace. And we know that there's only so many shelters. I know up in Gainesville, in our station up there, there's an area where they have kind of come together, and there is a shelter. There's a home up there for people that are homeless. But that is probably being taxed to the max right now as well. So this is one of those times to where people, now there's a part of this I want to deal with. And I don't know that I've ever asked this question before, but this, we know the Bible talks about if you don't work, you don't eat. So there's this, and I think there is an attitude that a lot of even believers have, because there's so many homeless, Nina. There's so many people that are on the side of the roads with a cardboard sign holding up almost at every major intersection. And so it's easy to develop like almost a numbing effect, I think, in our minds. Can you tell us what kind of impact you see from being a part of the Christian a sharing center? How does that translate for you? What would you encourage people to consider when they pull up to that?
Everybody's story is different, and there's no canned solution because everyone's situation is so different. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. Once in a while, I will stop by a Starbucks right on 434 near I-4, and I've gotten to know a really lovely gentleman. Let's just call him Bobby. And Bobby's always sitting at the first table before you go inside Starbucks. Very quiet. He's just a huge introvert. And after seeing him a couple of times, I started talking to him and asking him if he needs something to eat. His favorite is sausage and egg sandwich. And I would go into Starbucks and buy my coffee. And I talked to the cashier and I said, is Bobby a regular at Starbucks? And she said, yes. He just quietly sits there and people buy his favorite sandwich, sausage and egg, for him. And after I got to know Bobby a few times, I realized he takes shower someplace nearby where the Starbucks, there's a shower facility somewhere. He doesn't have any means of transportation. So I asked him if he can get to the sharing center, and he's on foot and it's about a 5-mile walk. And so he can't get to the sharing center. And so I would start bringing a bag of homeless food, which is the pop top type of proteins that does not require any heating or can mm-hmm. opening, a can opener or so forth. And so whenever I stopped by Starbucks, I would give him a bag of food. Now, after speaking to him several times now, I realized he has undiagnosed mental health issues. So in this particular case, unless assessment is done to see what his situation is, mm-hmm. then we can't start the treatment process. And so with some of our homeless clients we serve, they do have undiagnosed mental health issues. And with some homeless clients that we serve, it costs so much money. If you're asked to pay first month, last month, and security deposit, that could be in the upwards of over $4,000. Most people, not even mentioning our homeless, most working people don't have $4,000 saved up in their bank account. There was another study done to see what's the percentage of the U.S. population have $400 of emergency money saved up in their bank account. And it was less than 40% to have that much emergency money saved up.
So $400.
Less than $400. So most people just live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. So in the case of Bobby and many of the clients that we serve at Oasis, they're sleeping on the side of the road. They're sleeping in their car. They're sleeping under businesses. And so when the business is open first thing in the morning, by 7 a.m., they're lining up at the Oasis to receive food and shower service. Mm. And so we basically just have to stop and take time to talk to these individuals. So I don't hand out money anymore like I used to. I stop, I sit down, I ask them for permission, can I sit and talk with you and find out what the situation is? Mm-hmm. So once you get to know them, they'll open up and let you know how you can best serve them.
I think for all of us, I think that this is something that I've had to come to, is that we need to be very careful. We don't know, scripturally speaking, we don't know, but at what times we could be entertaining, the Bible says, an angel unaware. We just don't know. We don't know who God is going to bring before us. So I agree with you. I think that by and large, that's what I would, I've come to that same place. I have so many times, I have been what I feel later I found out was a bit taken advantage of by some people who are out there. There are no doubt some bad eggs out in the public. But I think the moment that as we as believers shut our heart and close the doors of compassion, we have lost something as believers. And I love your answer. I love your openness, because I've done that before as well, where you buy people food and you buy them. I've put people up in hotel rooms, you know, who looked like they were really there. And I want you to know, I've actually done that. And I found out later that I had just done that mm-hmm. for somebody that was taking advantage of me. And they were a professional, you know, that's happened. So we have to do it as unto the Lord. We just have to do that. Absolutely. But I think this is why I love having you here, because you deal on a day in and a day out basis with those very people that are homeless. And you have a love, Nina, mm-hmm. that God's given you a compassion, and God's given this organization a depth of love that I believe is at the very heart and center of what we need to have. And that's why I love having you on during the week of Thanksgiving, because this needs to be a time, even in the year of COVID, we need to be thankful.
And, you know, tomorrow, Tuesday, we're having probably over 50 volunteers coming on campus starting at 8 a.m. to help us set up tents and table and chairs and serving the homeless starting at 11 o'clock. And we're looking to feed over 300 homeless individuals.
On Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow
on Tuesday, the 24th. Mm-hmm. And so what does Bible Matthew chapter 25 say? When you feed one of the least of them, when you mm-hmm. close one of the least yes. of them, you're doing God's work. And so we have these yeah. awesome volunteers and board members coming also tomorrow to feed the homeless. And I just think that, you know, I thank God for this amazing opportunity to lead the work that we're doing here at the Christian Sharing Center, because we are being His hands and feet, basically.
You are, and you're doing with excellence. Thanking God for the implications that have come from winning this most recent award of certification, a platinum award from GuideWell, I believe it was, that you said?
GuideStar.
And my goodness, how important that is, that this work is going forward. Before we take a break, give us the web address and the way that people can contact the Sharing Center if they'd like to donate.
Absolutely. Our website is thesharingcenter.org.
Thesharingcenter.org. I'll be back with Nina for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. My guest in our studio today on Thanksgiving week is Nina Yan. Nina is the director, the president of, I don't know what your exact, I don't have your card right in front of me, but I know you're the CEO of the Sharing Center. And Nina directs this wonderful ministry. It's in the Longwood area. Now I have her card and I'm going to read it to you. Here it is, president and CEO. I said just right. All right. For once, I got it right. That is a record, I do believe. That's a different card. You've got a new card since the last time we were together.
Yes, yeah, so we have new branding guidelines, color scheme.
Oh, nice.
We're trying to be grown-up nonprofit, so everything is consistent.
Well, it's a beautiful place. If you've never taken a tour, and you know, there's something I like to say up front, these things, as we said, these type of organizations like the Sharing Center are so critical. We were talking with my good friend and your friend, John Crossman, we were in a meeting before we started this taping. And, you know, we're talking about just this, the whole cost of what it is to have an outreach like what you do. And there's a cost that's implied if a person is a part of a community and they're homeless versus that same cost to the community if they are employed. There's a great deal of return on investment that if people were to give to the Sharing Center, what it does for the community as a whole, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's a study, and if you can just Google it, it comes out of the governor's office every year, and it talks about if you leave the homeless individual on the street, how much it would cost us as taxpayers when they either end up in emergency room at the hospitals, or if they get arrested, end up being incarcerated, or they appear in front of the judge and so forth. So there's a cost to leaving a homeless person on the street versus if you take that individual, provide stable housing, and then provide the continuum of care and provide all the other wraparound services once this individual is housed. It is a third of the cost if you were to house this individual and then provide the services versus keeping them and leaving them on the street. And it's just amazing. The study continues to talk about roughly if you were to leave one person, a homeless person on the street, it cost us about $31,000 a year. Whereas if you house them and then provide the wraparound services, it only costs us about $10,000 instead of that $31,000. So it's at a third of the price. Basically, if you are listening and you're a business owner and number talks to you, this is the fact that study has shown year after year, and they did the actual case study in Jacksonville. So this is a proven success that if you were to take all the homeless people and put them in housing and then provide all of the services, you know, not only we're loving on them, but it costs us less as taxpayers.
Mm. That's a wonderful fact that I think few of us think about. And I know that many people are not aware of the implications that our tax dollars really do bring, but we all pay that. And it doesn't matter what business, what life choice, career-wise you've chosen, our taxes are at work and they are providing things for some of the very people that you might be ignoring or not wanting to think about. But this is a reality that we all need to get a hold of and say, how much better is it to do it God's way? And God's way is for us to have hearts of compassion. And I think that's so good. It's good for my heart to hear. And I confess there are times that I see that and I'm just, I know that there are people out there that should be out working and they're not. And that's a true, but there are plenty of people and more people who need the help and who want the help, who want to get out of that place where they are. And that's where you're helping them, and I'm so grateful for you. Now, there's a couple of things that I think it's very important that we spend a few moments that we have left here talking about. Number one, people are able now to donate unused items. And by the way, I have a couple of boxes that we're putting together right now for you again. I've been a donator to you before. And the last time I had a vehicle full of stuff.
Cargo van full,
that's
yes.
Right. Well, we're bringing another big couple of boxes over. For people to do that, you're able to take those items that are used but in good shape and now no longer needed by you, but they're needed by other people. And you put those into your thrift store, and then they're bought, and that money goes into your operation.
Absolutely.
So people are able to do that. What are the hours at the Sharing Center for people to be open? Do you know that offhand?
I do. You know, what's interesting, Mike, Donation Alley right now is open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday. During the peak of COVID, we closed Donation Alley completely from end of March to end of May. Mm-hmm. When we reopened, we only opened for 2 hours from 10 to 12. And what's interesting is when we wrapped up the fiscal year, our numbers show, even though we closed completely for two months and then we reopened with only 2 hours a day receiving donations, we still receive 10% more cart full of donations this year over last year.
Oh, my word.
Isn't that just amazing?
That is an amazing fact. I would have thought it was way down.
No, it's even over last year, over and above. But another thing that most people don't realize is the donated products. When all my friends says, Nina, do you accept? And I'll say, I'll stop you right there because we accept everything.
Okay.
And the reason is, even if the clothing, if I'm donating myself, a little bit of stain or torn, we partner with the salvage company and we recycle everything, whether it's shoes that are too scuffed or torn clothing. And through our salvage operation, last year we raised an additional $39,000. What that means is, because we salvage and recycle, 39 more families were blessed with a $1,000 rent assistance because of the salvage operation. Oh,
so we can just say, bring it on.
Bring it on. 10 to 2, Monday through Saturday.
Oh, that's great. And then we've only got a minute left, but tell us about the plan for the fundraising campaign for this year.
So two quick things. Black Friday, so Friday and Saturday, we're doing 50% sale at the retail store at the Sharing Center. So that's Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and then the Saturday. And then right now, our year-end campaign, thanks to the support of Miles to Go and Briar Team from Sanford and an anonymous family donation, we're doing a dollar-for-dollar match up to $200,000. So we already have $100,000 committed, and now we're just raising the additional $100,000 to help families pay rent and buy groceries.
You're doing a wonderful work, and I want to say thank you very much. Nina Yan, President and CEO of the Christian Sharing Center. And we're so grateful to have you here. We can't wait for the next time for you to come back. And that is thesharingcenter.org. Thesharingcenter.org. See them. Spend a little bit of your Thanksgiving week thinking about how we can help others. And God bless you, Nina.
God bless.
And friends, thank you for being with us. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.